You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Titled, New Year's Resolutions and the Instant Chicken Soup. If we study history, we will see some amazing things that happened throughout human civilization, especially when it comes to human aggression, man fighting man. World War II, as told to us in the history books, was caused by an assassin, a Serbian assassin, who killed the Archduke Ferdinand and his wife, who were the monarchs of Austria, and this incensed the Austrians, and they wanted to punish Serbia. This all took place in Sarajevo, similar to what's happening today. And because of the intertwining alliances between the country, one event led to the other, and eventually all the major countries were drawn into what was called the Great War. So it seems that those were the circumstances, the cause and the effect of the treaties, the shooting of the Archduke. That was the main reason World War I started. However, if we look into the untold story of World War I, we will know that this great war, which caused so much tragedy, so much hardship, so much bloodshed, came about because of burnt fish. The story, that is a not widely known story, was that the ambassador of Germany loved fish. That was his main meal. He loved to have fish. Now, realistically, Germany and France did not want to have a war. It wasn't in anybody's interest to have a massive conflict. He did not think that anyone would win easily without the costs that it would incur. So there were negotiations between the French ambassador and the German ambassador to try to prevent the war from breaking out. So what happened one day while they were in the middle of negotiations, the German ambassador's maid burnt his fried fish. And he was extremely upset because his fish was burnt, because he was such a connoisseur of fish. And he was in a terrible mood. And when the French ambassador called up to talk peace, the German ambassador was very sharp and he was very angry. And one word led to the other, and eventually they ended with the words, "This means war." So we see how a small incident such as burnt fish caused one of the greatest tragedies known to mankind, World War I. The source of all sorrow in the world, all trouble, all unhappiness, is bad character. If we looked at the root of everything that happens negative in our lives, and we examine it, we will know that it is caused because of bad character. There's a fascinating Rambam on Pirkei Avos. One of the Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos says, "Have me'od me'od shvar ruach." A person should be very, very humble. And on this Rambam, the great philosopher, the modern philosopher, a man who studied Aristotle, a genius of his time, said the following story. There was once a chassid, a very righteous individual, not the chassidim of later on generations from the time of the Baal Shem Tov. There weren't such chassidim in the time of the Rambam's time. We're talking someone who's called a chassid, not because of the group he belonged, but because of his individual actions. And this chassid was asked by his students, they said, "Rebbe, tell us, what was the happiest day in your life?" So the Rebbe said, "Once I used to be a very poor man, and I had to travel overseas at one point in my life. And because I was poor, I could not afford to be up in the cabins with the other people. So they put me down in the hold with the cargo. And back then they had no public facilities on the ship. People used to come down to a corner in the hold and do their do what they had to do, and nature called. So I was sitting there, he said, by the ropes. Then all of a sudden this very rich man comes over to me, pulls down his pants, and urinates all over me like I didn't exist. And he said, you know, even though this man did such a despicable action to me, I did not get angry. I did not feel anger. And that was the happiest day of my life, he told his students. Now, if you go and tell somebody what's the happiest day of your life when somebody did such an action to you, they think you're from California or Los Angeles, some strange individual. But what was this chassid telling us? This chassid was telling us that the greatest moment of his life is when somebody did such a terrible thing to him, disgraced his total humanity, degraded him from being a human being, he didn't let it affect him. He had such complete control over his emotions, such a chashivas, an understanding of who and what he is. He felt no anger. He felt no degradation. And that, the chassid said, was the greatest moment in my life, because I knew I had tremendous self-control and I've reached a high level. The Gembasra on the Pasuk, Al-Kain Yoimru Ha-Moishrim Moishlim Bol Cheshbon. Therefore the people who are the rulers say, come to Cheshbon. The literal meaning is, come to Cheshbon, come to Og and Sichon, and let's destroy them. But the Medrash tells us something else. It says, Al-Kain Yomer HaMoishlim. Therefore the people are Moishel, who are rulers. Those are the people who are Moishel B'Yitzram, who have control of their Yetzer, have control of their emotions. Bo'yu Cheshbon. Come and let us make a Cheshbon. Bo, and an accounting. Bo, V'Nachshav. Let us account. Cheshbon Shel Olam. The accounting of the world. Let us take an accounting with our lives. Where we're going, what are we doing? It's very difficult. Why does it say you have to be a moishel? Somebody who's in control of your emotions to come and make an accounting of your life? Everyone has to make an accounting of their life. Where are you going? What are you doing with yourself? Are you succeeding? Are you doing what's right? Or are you failing? Why do you have to be a moishel? Why do you have to be somebody who's in control? The answer is, if you're not in control, you don't take the steps to improve your character. You could make cheshbonos, you could make accountings from today till doomsday. It will not help. Any resolution that you make, any good idea that you have, will not be able to be put into action because you have no self-control. You don't realize who you are, what you are. And your character traits take over your life subconsciously and consciously. You have to be a moishel first. You have to be someone who has a control over their lives. If you have control over your life, then you can sit down and say, where do I want to go in life? What am I doing in life? But without that control, any accountings that you make are meaningless, because you will not be able to hold through and can continue on with your good intentions. And it's an amazing thing. The Western civilization makes a big deal out of the New Year. I would imagine because it marks a certain passing of time, and it creates a new situation, a new year. Something new is going to happen. We can throw away the old and start fresh. Everyone talks about New Year's resolutions. I have these New Year's resolutions that I'm going to make. I'm going to become a better person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But if we notice that when somebody makes a New Year's resolution, not only don't they improve, but the next day they could be even worse than when they were for the previous day. How is it possible to have a New Year's resolution when you're sincere and you want to do it and you think it's a great idea, but it doesn't come through? In fact, it makes you, could even make you a worse person because of the resolution. Because you see it's not happening and you get frustrated with your life. What's the reason? So we have to understand what generation we're living in. We are living in the instant chicken soup generation, the Telma Cube generation. What is instant chicken soup? You take this nice Telma Cube of chicken soup and you take a little hot water from the tap or from the percolator, put it in, mix it around, and then you have chicken soup. What does it taste like? It tastes like instant chicken soup. But if you have the good old-fashioned chicken soup, where you take the chicken, you stick it in the pot, you put in the potatoes, the onions, the carrots, and let it stew for hour after hour, and you stir it and put in the spices, then after 5-6 hours, then you have good chicken. Life is what you put into it. You want to have instant results, instant success, instant good character? That's what you're going to end up with, instant goodness, which tastes just like instant chicken soup. It's not the real thing. Only through hard work and understanding what life is all about, putting in the effort to change, to be a better person, only that will have a lasting meaning. Only that will show true improvement and change in one's life. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says it's harder to completely change one character trait than to go through the entire Talmud Be'iyun in great depth. Now, this doesn't mean changing at all. It means completely changing one character trait. It's a very difficult process. So if we just make it a New Year's resolution, we're going to do this, a list of this, this, and this, we're doomed to failure because it doesn't work. Because we're not working on the roots, we don't understand why we do things, how we do things, and we have no game plan to do it. I go and I say, I want to become a millionaire. I want to become a millionaire. Well, that's great. Everybody wants to become a millionaire. But how are you going to do it? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to go out on the street and I'll think of a good idea. I'll make a product. Everybody's going to buy it, this and that. Anyone who knows anything knows this guy's an idiot. Because that's not how you do it. Even if you have a good product, you have the greatest product in the world. You have to market it. You have to manufacture it. You have to get it out. You have to be able to warehouse it and put the publicity around. And this, that, you have to get it on the stock market. It's a massive process. If you have no game plan whatsoever, you have no idea how to bring this product to its fruition, then you're wasting your time. Dreams are beautiful, but they're just dreams. And that's the same thing with, I want to be a good person. I want to be friendly to everybody. I want everybody to be nice to me. I don't want to get angry. I want to have a good marriage. I want to have good relationships. Sure, everybody does. I've never met a person yet that says, I want to have a rotten marriage. I'm going under the chuppah with this girl and I know I'm going to have a rotten marriage with her. When I have my office, I want to sneer at everybody. I want to walk into the office and sneer at them and hate their guts, and my eyes are dripping venom. That's the type of relationship I want with people. A person's out of their mind. That's the way they'll talk. But a normal person wants to be friendly. He wants to have a good marriage. He wants to raise his kids properly. That's what they want to do. But how does it happen? You can't just say, I want a good marriage. Doesn't work like that. You have to work at it. You have to strive for it. It takes time and effort and effort and effort and effort and effort. That's what it takes. But even if a person says, Hineni, here I am, Rabbi, I'm ready to put in the effort. It's meaningless. Unless you know what you're doing. Unless you understand who you are, what you are, what your problems are, what your good points are, what your bad points are, unless you look at that and you fully understand your essence, your being, it's not going to work. So now we have to realize from the Orach HaTzaddikim, we see that there are four main influences to a person's character. Behavioralists, for the psychologists amongst us, behavioralists say everything's dependent on the situation you're in, the input, the data, your environment. There are other people that say that it's a natural tendency, it's genetic. In reality, they're all true. There are four steps. First of all, pi kabbalah. Chazal tell us that the thoughts that your parents had at the time of your conception have a direct input on how the child is formed, the character, about the thoughts, the desires, etc., of the child. So if a person, whatever, at the time of conception, the parents had certain character traits or certain ideas or certain things like that, those have a direct effect on the child's personality. For example, the Medrash tells us that the Romans, after they destroyed the second Beis Hamikdash, they took the Jewish captives, who were very handsome and beautiful people, and they used to tie them to the bedposts. So while they were having relationships with their wives, they would look at the beauty of these Jewish people so that they would conceive children as beautiful. This is all Pesach, according to his Kabbalistic secrets, exactly how this works. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect is inherited traits. Let's face reality. Whatever good points our parents have, whatever bad points they have, that's all part of us. We can't escape the reality of we've inherited the traits of our parents. Now, exactly how much of each parent, what percentage, I would say, venture to say it varies between child and child, but the basic tendencies, the character traits of the parents are within all of us. The third level is a learned trait, that throughout your years of growth and learning, you've picked up certain habits, certain understandings, certain ways of dealing with situations. And the fourth situation is the environment. The environment that you are in right now could have a positive effect on you or could have a negative effect on you. For example, if a kid just goes to college and does not go to yeshiva, I don't care how strong that kid is, it's guaranteed that the environment will have a negative effect on that child. You remove that child from that environment and you bring him also to yeshiva, there's no question you will see a tremendous improvement on that child. So we have these four things. Now, each one going backwards is much easier to improve. Environment, get out of the environment. Something which is learned, but it's not inherent, it's not a part of you. You'll have to unlearn it. But something which is genetic, that's the most difficult thing to get rid of. And that takes understanding and an effort. So in order for someone to actually change, what they need is a cheshbon nefesh. They have to look at themselves, at their personality. Each and every one of us has to sit down one night and take a good, hard look at ourselves. We have to know our good points and our bad points. Are we lazy? Are we angry? Are we tense? Are we nervous? Do we take life too seriously? Do we have the proper faith in God? Do we really believe in God? All these points we have to know. What are our good character traits? Are we a nice people? Are we generous? Are we friendly? Are we happy? All the different traits, the whole spectrum, is something that we each have to go through and understand who we are. Once we go and we take an honest look, even though it's going to hurt, there's no question to look in the mirror and see who we really are. It's going to hurt. It's painful for a person to say we have faults, that we're not perfect. But that's the only way a person is going to change. By first admitting who they are. Everyone in this world has faults. Everyone has both pluses and minuses. But we're unique in our own pluses and minuses. Once we have the self-introspection, we examine our actions, then we can have a game plan. We can look through our different character traits. Let's say a person's an angry individual. And they decide, I'm angry. Then they can look and see, why am I an angry person? Am I angry just because I'm frustrated with my present situation? And if I remove myself from the present situation, I will not be so angry? Or maybe it's a much deeper thing, a much deeper problem. Maybe my parents were angry parents. Or maybe I was brought up in a house where there wasn't any shalom bayis, there wasn't peace. There was always anger. They were shouting at each other. That's what caused me to be angry. Then you have to know, is it an environmental effect? Is it a learned habit? Or is it genetic? Then, once you can identify your character trait that you want to improve, first of all, you have to know what does it mean improve. And a person says, I want to be good. I want to be good. What does good mean? Hitler said he was good. He believed he was a good person. Goring held he was good. In fact, in the Nuremberg trials, how did they defend such an evil person? Somebody who wrote a plan that the Germans, Rahman al-Islam, conquered Russia. They planned to kill by starvation 100 million people by starvation. How could you justify, how could a lawyer justify that such an individual is good? So they said at the trial, Goring had a pet bird. He had a parakeet. And when the room was dark and the parakeet was sleeping, heaven forbid he didn't want to turn on the lights and open and wake up his parakeet. So he used to sneak into the room quietly so he wouldn't wake up his parakeet. That's a proof Goring wasn't so bad. He wasn't such a bad guy. Or the wife of the Treblinka camp guard, the head of the Treblinka camp, who used to look out for people who had tattoos on their skin and had them killed and skinned so she could make beautiful human lampshades. How did they defend her at the trials? They said, oh, but she keeps such a clean house. So, she keeps a clean house, so she's a good person. What does good mean? We have to have our definition of good. And good is defined by the Torah. The Torah says one of the mitzvahs, Uladav Kaboy. We have to cling to our Kaddish Baruch, we have to cling to Hashem. What does clinging mean? Clinging means to emulate God. To look at the character traits that God shows us. Mahu rachum. Just like He is merciful. Af atatehe rachum. So too, you have to be merciful. That is the key. And the Ladavka by the Gemara also tells us in Ksuvas. How can we cling to God? God is a theory. He's not physical. How do we relate to Him? God, of course, God is an entity. But how can we relate, cling to something which isn't physical? So the Gemara tells us you cling to the Talmidei Chachamim, those people that are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the people who are emulating God. You want to see an example of what it means to be a good person? Look towards the Talmidei Chachamim, the people that are constantly working on themselves to improve themselves. Those are the people you cling to. And they'll show you the way and they'll influence you. The key to success is step number one. Defining what is good direction you want to go into. What does it mean to improve your character? Improve to what? Once you define to yourself what is good, where you want to go, then you go and take the long, hard look at yourself. You go and say, what am I? Who am I? Is it better to stay the way I am? To be an angry, hurt person and cause myself glaucoma? To cause myself stress on my heart and drop dead of a heart attack at 51? Is that what I'm doing to my life? Because of my anger, because of my jealousy? The Pasuk says, Rekavat Samas Kina. People get their bones rot because of jealousy. That's what how I want to live my life. An angry, selfish individual who only cares about myself? That's life. Or I want to do something about it. So have a good, cold, hard look at yourself and see what your points are. And then examine, where do they come from? Are they genetic? Are they learned? Are they because of the environment? And then for each step, for each one of the character traits you want to change, You make a plan. If your environment is bothering you, then you have to work out, get rid of your environment, or make your environment better. If you have a learned trait, you just like you could train Pavlov's dog to salivate when there's a bell being rung, so too we could untrain Pavlov's dog to not to salivate when a bell is being rung. The same thing with learned character traits. If we have learned a certain way, a certain bad character, we could also unlearn that bad character. And if it's something that's genetic, something which is in our family, we have to be constantly aware of it, because something like that takes an entire lifetime to eradicate. So if we take one step at a time, we focus on one character trait, and we understand clearly we want to change it. And there are no easy instant answers. This is going to take time and constant effort and awareness and the courage to say, yes, I have this bad character trait. It doesn't mean you're bad. It means that you have a flaw that you have to improve. Be, I would say, man enough, as I say, for women, a woman enough to admit it. And be courageous and say, yes, I have these faults, and I am ready to seriously do something about it. Once you have the commitment and you want to do it, and you're ready to put in the time and the effort, then habol tahir. If somebody comes to purify themselves, misayin oisai, Hashem helps them out. So the key for success in life, the key to understand who you are and what you are, and the key to bring peace to the world that everybody's looking forward to, instead of, because of some fried fish, create the deaths and sufferings of untold millions, the key is to work on ourselves. We don't have to look at everybody else saying, oh, you have that bad trait, you have that bad trait, I want to help you out. Let's help ourselves out first. Let's apply what we've learned to ourselves and improve ourselves. That way, by setting an example, we improve the world. Albert Schweitzer was once asked, how do you teach a child? How do you go and teach a child something? What's the best tool of education? He said, there are three things you need. The first thing you need is to be an example. The second thing you need is to be an example. And the third thing you need is to be an example. If we work on ourselves and people see us learning Torah, and that Torah is changing us, then people will see, do you know what Torah does? Not only scholarly understanding, it's not just mental gymnastics. It's something which takes a person, molds a person, improves a person, and makes them what a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what God wanted them to be in the world. So if we're serious and we use the minds that God gave us, and we're not afraid to have self-introspection, and we're ready to put in the effort, there's no question we will succeed and come to the level of a Dovkabok to cling to Hashem and emulate Him.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.